summer began to slowly yield to autumn with an earlier dip of the sun over the New Hampshire horizon and a dip of the mercury on the thermometer. It was a time for harvest, good or bad, one that might meet or fall short of expectations, needs, and wants. No matter that season's yield, this woman would, along with all the others in her place and time, take a moment, or even a day, to stop and give thanks. She expected that the state's governor would, as was custom by this point in time, proclaim when this somewhat annual, yet always changeable, celebration and day of reflection would take place. Despite a life that had brought her so much upheaval of late, and no matter her precarious financial situation, and with all of her recent and still deeply resonating loss, she welcomed the opportunity to find something, anything, for which to be grateful. With her options severely limited and five young mouths to feed, the woman would do what she had always done, the one thing that brought her some measure of joy. She was tired. It was late. There was a hungry baby at her breast. Because of her gender, she had little standing, but always a foundation on which she was willing to bravely stand. Her options were few, but she had a pen and a purpose and something to say. And so, as she had so many times before, Sarah Josepha Hale sat down to write. Writing was never a vocation that a young Sarah had actively sought, despite her love of the written word and her rabid consumption of books, one of the few indulgences women were allowed. Even if writing had long been her goal, it was not the kind of calling encouraged in the young women of her time. No, she needed work and she needed money. Life thus far may not have provided her much in the way of opportunity, but it had prepared her well to make do and get by. Sarah Josepha Buell had spent her childhood in the late 1700s on a farm just outside of Newport, New Hampshire, which sat near the Sugar River. The year she was born, 1788, the recently liberated colonies had yet to elect their first president. Farm life instilled in young Sarah, as it did in many rural folk, a work ethic necessary for survival, especially in the harsh climate of the state's northern reaches. For Sarah, this drive also likely stemmed from witnessing as a child the struggles endured by her father, Gordon Buell, a Revolutionary War veteran who had fought under General Horatio Gates. Although her father survived those battles, he had returned to his family injured, with the use of his legs badly compromised. This, in turn, badly compromised his ability to run a farm, so he had long relied on his sons, Sarah's brothers, Horatio and Charles, to help him. Sarah also had a younger sister, Martha, named for their mother, and the young women helped their mother run the house. As for her two older brothers, Charles soon set out to sea, and Horatio, whom they called Race, was left on his own to help Gordon Buell with the manual labor the family's farm required. Given that Martha Buell had fed her children's minds in the best way she knew how, with ample helpings of books, it wouldn't be a surprise that Race's aspirations were to pursue college and law, not farming and agriculture. For young women not attending school, reading strongly shaped Sarah's early years as well. "Next to the Bible and Pilgrim's Progress," she later wrote, "my earliest reading was Milton, Johnson, Pope, Cowper, and a part of Shakespeare." But the book that made the biggest impression on her at a mere 7 years of age was The Mysteries of Udolpho by Anne Radcliffe. "Of all the books I saw," Sarah added, "few were written by Americans and none by women. But here was a work, the most fascinating I had ever read, always excepting Pilgrim's Progress, written by a woman. How happy it made me!"